If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the New Testament book of Hebrews. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to be focusing today on getting unstuck. We've been dealing with COVID now longer than I want to. I heard another church member who is homesick now with COVID, and I'm just sick of it. I don't know if anybody else in here is just tired of it, just frustrated by it. But I kind of want to give y'all a start with just giving y'all a testimony of what COVID was like as far as a staff member here at the church. And I don't know if it was the same for y'all personally as it was for me and Aaron while we were going through this. But as COVID set in all those years ago, we felt like it was threatening our way of life, you know, the way that we lived and the way that we experienced life together. And there was an air of excitement to start with when services started getting canceled and we were meeting in parking lots and we were doing the things that we could do to continue to be the church that God called us to be. And I just remember the excitement and how much support that y'all gave us and all the things that we did and all the things that we tried. And then it led into us going online and streaming those services, and me and Aaron quickly understood that it is extremely difficult to hold a worshipful attitude in your living room. Okay, and so our thought process was, hey, let's pre-record the sermon, let's pre-record the worship, so that we can put it together in a very smoothly flowing service, so that there's little to no distractions on y'all's part of partaking in worship at home. Okay, and for that changed me and Aaron's routine. It changed our schedules because as human beings, we are creatures of habit. Like, we find comfort in doing the same stuff over and over and over again. And so that found, Austin up here at weird times of the day doing the worship. And if we found Sonia at weird times of the week to come up here and do their worship for the week. And then sometimes we tried to get real crazy and change shirts and do a couple times, a couple Sundays of worship on a day. So that, because it was just extremely difficult to get together and to make those things happen. And then, it was amazing until it wasn't. Because eventually it lost its luster. And eventually people stopped being excited. Eventually people stopped tuning in. And slowly but surely, the energy of everything that was COVID started dying. And as a staff member, one of two full-time staff members at this church, COVID was extremely exhausting. And me and Aaron found ourselves at the end of COVID completely done in, emotionally, spiritually, physically. And we were left with the task at hand of how do we get back at church. All right, we've used all this energy, and now we have to undertake another process that we've never done before, is how do you get people from home back into the church? And as me and Aaron talked after he resigned, and he told me, he said, you know, COVID took a bigger toll on me than I realized. And I agreed with him that COVID almost done us in spiritually. We can't admit that, and I'm breaking the rules by saying that, but spiritually speaking, we were just wiped out. But I also want to tell you the testimony of COVID as far as my personal life. I know that COVID affected people in a negative way, a lot of people in a negative way. I personally know people that died of that first round. I know people my age, and I know people a few years older than me that died and their families were forever altered. I know people that lost their jobs, and I know people that were affected extremely negatively by that first round and that isolation and all that stuff. But my family wasn't. I look back as COVID as one of the best times of our life as a family, because we didn't have practices to go to every other day. We weren't spending every weekend at tournaments. We weren't chasing Addison all over the state of Alabama, watching her play whatever sport she was in that day. And we stayed at home. We saved money. Hey, we built a treehouse. Because you remember, the only place you couldn't catch COVID during all this was Lowe's. And so you can go to Lowe's and be around 500 people at Lowe's. We built a treehouse. in our backyard. We worked in the yard. We had a blast. We had so much family time that me and Heather look at each other quite often going, I wish we had those times back. Every time I have to get up and go to a ball game, I'm like, where's COVID when you need it? So the question is, how can you have two completely different impacts? Personally, it was amazing. Got to spend all this time with my family, time that I think I will look back fondly for years to come, the time I got to spend with my family. Yet, in the church, and in my, if you want to call this my job, my ministry, I was completely tapped out, and I was completely wiped out. And I don't know if I'm the only one that felt that way by the end of it, but that's the way we felt as ministers trying to do what we could do with the limitations we were given. And you know, I tell people all the time, me and Aaron had no idea what we were doing with COVID, and we were questioned less than anything. Every year that I do the festival, somebody comes and asks me a question like, I've never done the Hallelujah Festival before. Well, have you thought about the weather? No, never. I haven't been looking at the weather app for 17 days now to see what they're saying about that. I've never even crossed my mind that I should do that. Yeah, yes, I've looked at the weather, okay? People question these events that I do yearly all the time. But here me and Aaron are walking through COVID, this uncharted territory, and not one question. And for the most part, y'all are awesome. And y'all encouraged us. Y'all lifted us up. I'm not blaming y'all for what happened to for the exhaustion that was COVID for me and Aaron. But what I'm saying is, how can I have one experience over here and another experience over here? And I came to the conclusion this week, it's because I severed so many vital relationships during COVID. The supportive network that God has entrusted with us. That's what church is. It's supposed to be a network of support. And we severed those ties. We cut them off. And we hunkered in our houses like they asked us to do. And we focused on our families. And we were able to do the things that they did. And I'm not arguing. I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you, that's what we did. And now that we're at the end of COVID, we're asking ourselves to question, where is that network that I used to feel? Because there's two things that me and Aaron's been able to get back to this church. Worship and Sunday school. And worship and Sunday school are magnificent things that you should be a part of. But you will never build relationships sitting in the sanctuary. And you'll never build relationships sitting in a classroom. You've got to do those things outside of those places. Worship is designed for God to be the focus, not us. Therefore, this place is not designed for us. Yeah, we talk beforehand, and yeah, we talk afterwards. But the main focus is for you to be here finding what God wants you to go. You go to Sunday school. Yeah, you're going to talk before Sunday school. Yeah, you're going to share prayer requests. Yeah, you're going to do those things. But the focus and the purpose of that is the study of God's Word. It's not designed for fellowship. It's not designed for growing those things. I was sitting at the pool with David, Brandy, and Gina one night. And just talking. Aaron had resigned. We were all kind of heartbroken, trying to find our way, figure out what we're going to do and all this kind of stuff and just all those things going on. You know what, guys? That's where you build friendship. I told Gina. I said, me and Gina knew each other for 7 years of this church until I think Logan, maybe 5 or 6 years before Logan came into the youth group. And me and Gina were friendly, but we weren't friends. You know how we became friends? She started going on trips with me. We started hanging out. We started carrying on conversations. We started being what we should be as friends. And that's how it works, and that's how it develops, and that's how we become those things. We've severed those things in the church. And I want to look at the book of Hebrews, and I want to look at just a few verses. And then I'm going to preach this sermon as quickly as I can, since that was the longest introduction I've ever had. Because I want to do something different today. Austin doesn't even know about this. Sorry, Austin, I was supposed to tell you before the service. Okay? I think I talked to Heather, Tim, and Angie. That's the only three people who knows what's fixing to happen in this service. All right? So I want us to look at Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to preach this sermon real quick, and we're going to end in a little different way, okay? Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25 says this. Let us hold fast to the confessions of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. In this verse, you see three quick things in those three different verses that I want us to just kind of examine and look at for just a second, okay? The first thing in verse 23, you see, it says we should embrace our hope, all right? In times like this, in the struggles of life, the first thing that always falls away from our conscious thought or our heart is the hope that we have. Isn't it amazing how quickly Satan can take hope away from us and can get us to focus on other things besides the things that we should? All right? This week, I had two dentist appointments. I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to have two dentist appointments in a year. Okay, but I had two dentist appointments this week. The first one told me something was wrong. The second one to have a root canal. All right, I've lost 7 pounds this week. Okay, so if you think my mouth wasn't hurting, this boy right here likes to eat, and I couldn't get stuff in my mouth and down my throat. That means I'm hurting. Come Tuesday night, I was ready to pull the tooth out myself. I was ready to go castaway and find a skate and stick it in my mouth and hit it with something because my mouth was hurting so bad. And I had lost the desire and the will to read God's word, to study this sermon, or anything at that point. I just laid in bed, and I wanted my mouth to stop hurting. Heather was 100% sure I was fixing to OD on some kind of pain pills. I don't know what the maximum amount of ibuprofen that you can take in a day, but I pushed the limits of it because I was either going to die of an OD or my mouth was going to quit hurting, one of the two things. Neither happened. Just to let you know, ibuprofen does have its limits, especially when you're mixing it with Aleve and Tylenol and every other medicine that you can put in there when your wife's not looking. yeah, I'm telling myself. But I lost focus of that. And it's funny, as I came back, because I knew I was going to preach on this as soon as I told Tim that I would preach the first two sermons after Aaron had left. I knew the first sermon, I knew the second sermon that I wanted to preach at that moment. And I looked at this, and I just started going through Hebrews. Look, guys, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16, he promised to write the law in our hearts. Do we not realize how amazing that is? That God writes on our hearts his law, and that our heart can direct us in what is right and what is wrong. And I'm not talking about morally. I'm talking about spiritually. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, he said he promised to work in you what was pleasing in his sight. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, he promised to remember your sins no more. Imagine that. How amazing is it that the God who came from heaven to earth to die for our sins says he will not remember them anymore. Therefore, when God looks at us through Jesus Christ, he doesn't see the sin that's in our life. He sees us as perfect creatures worthy of heaven. Does that not give you hope? Does that not make you feel amazing? Yet these are the things that Satan takes away from us in the times of struggle. He has promised in Hebrews chapter 10:14 that he will be perfected for all time by a single sacrifice that we saw through Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 59, he promised to never leave us or forsake us. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10, he promised to bring good from all of our pain. These things spoke to me this week and reminded me that in the pain and in the struggles of life, we should always have a glimmer of hope based off of what Jesus Christ has done for us. I don't know about you, but the God in which I serve keeps his promises. And there's a lot of unfulfilled promises in my life, and I can rest on those understanding the hope. Because I believe verse 23 is designed for us to embrace our hope, which means it's time for us to look inside of ourselves and see, does the hope of Jesus Christ rest inside of us? That's the question that we need to answer today. Have you got hope in your heart? Because if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you call yourself a Christian, when you look inwardly, there should be hope somewhere inside of you. Now, there are times in our life in which in times of pain and defeat, that we lose sight of that hope. But when we inwardly study who we are, we should find hope. And here's the amazing thing. Once you find the inward hope that is in our life, you know what it causes us to do? It causes us to immediately start looking out. The hope of Jesus Christ never causes us to be selfish. The hope of Jesus Christ always causes us to look for those around us. And that's what these next two verses are. It's about how the church is supposed to stir on love or push people towards love. The church is supposed to seek out the relationships and supposed to build those things in the way in which God calls us. So where does it start? It starts here with us finding the hope of Christ. All right. In the hard times, in the good times, in the easy times, in the bad times, we've got to remember that Christ gives us hope. Which leads to the second part. In verse 24, it says we should stir up love. I don't know about you, but I've been part of the church for a long time, and there's a lot of things stirred up at church, but love isn't always it. We can put a lot of different things that the church stirs up, can't we? And sometimes it's love, but sometimes it's gossip, sometimes it's negative stuff, sometimes it's a whole lot of other things. But what it says in here is it's time for us to stir up love. Let me read it first. Verse 24, it says this, "And let us consider how to stimulate," this is my version, "stimulate one another to love and good deeds." How do we cause others to love and good deeds? Number one, be selfless in our love. You know what? We got to stop waiting around for somebody else to do what God's called you to do. How many people we have sitting in the pews on the average church waiting for somebody to come and apologize to them? Waiting to initiate? Waiting for somebody to come speak to them? Waiting for somebody else to do what they want done? How many people we have just sitting there? I really hope somebody talks to me at church today. We're not supposed to sit around and wait for that. Our love is supposed to be selfless, and when we're not sitting there waiting for somebody to do it for us, we're supposed to be seeking people out that we can do it for. It also tells us we need to focus more on just loving people. Loving people is easy to do. You know what's hard to do? Help others become loving people. You see, we've lost sight of what Jesus commanded us to do as the church. Jesus didn't say, go therefore and make church members. Go therefore and make pew sitters. He said, go therefore and make disciples. You know what disciples do? Stuff. They're not takers. They're not those that are sitting there waiting. They're those that are going out and doing. I remember when I first came to Piney Grove Baptist Church, long time ago. I got here in September, and then we had the community Thanksgiving service at Woolley Springs Baptist Church. And I watched Bill Chester, who was the youth pastor at Woolley at the time, awesome dude. I watched him walk around Sanctuary of Woolley talking to everybody, talking to people from Piney, talking to people from First, talking to people from community, talking to people from Wool, and he just went all around. And here me and Heather are been here a month and a half, and we're just sitting in the pew. You know, just sitting there scared to death. I talked to the two or three Piney people that showed up at that point, and we're just sitting there, and I'm looking at him. I said, Heather, he is talking to everybody. And I was amazed by it. And a little bit jealous that it seemed like some of y'all were happier to see him than y'all were me at church. And I just remember thinking, there's never a point, because I just don't think I'm as friendly as Bill. I was like, there's never going to be a point in my life that I can be like that. The last community Thanksgiving service we had, everybody came in, and I find myself walking around. I'm talking to this person from this church. I'm talking to this person from our church. I'm talking to this person from Woolley, this person from community. And I'm walking all through the sanctuary. And it dawned on me. It literally did. I said, I'm Bill Chester now. I'm that guy. And it's not because I selfishly want it. It's because I became a part of the community. And when you're a part of something, it just happens. You don't have to go out of your way to do it. Same thing happens here at church, guys. If you're a part of this church, it shouldn't be like going to the dentist to get you to get up and talk to somebody on the other side of the sanctuary. Get up and talk to somebody that you hadn't spoken to in a while. What's my point? Those connections that were severed through COVID, it's time for us to build them back. And you can't wait for somebody else to do it. You have to take the initiative to start doing what we need to do as a church to build those. We got some stuff coming up. We got church at the barn. We got a church picnic coming up. We got the festival. We got things coming that's going to enhance those and give you more of an opportunity. But it has to start before then, working on those things. And then in verse 25, or says this, not forsaking our own assembling together as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more of the day that you see drawing near. The third point, I've got to find it. Hang on. Okay, it's in verse 24. It said, let us consider how to stimulate one another. All right. There's something in this text that's hard to bring into English, the word consider, or let us consider. It's used one other time in the book of Hebrews, and that's in Hebrews chapter 3, 1. And it says this right here. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and the high priest of our confession. Okay, so what you see there is the word is consider Jesus. And the meaning of that is to look at him first, think about him often, focus on him daily, study him continuously, and let your mind be occupied with him, Jesus, which is the direct object of the word consider, the verb consider. So then you go to Hebrews chapter 24, and it says consider. I know mine has some words between it, but consider, and the direct object of the word consider in Hebrews chapter 24 is others. And so the same calling that we have to consider Jesus in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, is the same calling that we have to consider others in the church. And so you see the same, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and mind, and love your brother as yourself. The same concept that you see in that verse, that thing that Jesus said, you see here, that consider others literally says, consider one another. We as a church should look at others first. We should think about others often. We should focus on them daily, study them continuously, and let your mind be occupied by others instead of yourself. And so where does that bring us at the end of this? Okay, I know this is not some great salvation message. This is not some great message that you're going to remember for the rest of your life. But let me think about this for just a second. If we are called to consider others, if we're called to stir up love, if we're called to be the one that takes the initiative and to stop sitting in our pews waiting for somebody else to do what God's called us to do, the question is, what do we do today? All right? I told you it's going to be a little different. Here's where it's fixing to get different. In just a moment, I'm going to close the service in prayer. All right? Without invitation. I know. Gasp if you want to. All right? I and Heather will personally be down here at the altar when this service is over with. If you need to speak to either one of us about something that's going on in your life, if you don't know the hope of Jesus that rests in your heart, you come speak to me, and I'll share with you what Jesus did for you and how he can come into your life and give you that hope. Come to the altar when everybody else gets up and starts leaving. Come talk to me, and I'll share that with you, and I'll have an invitation for you. If you just need me to pray for you or Heather to pray for you about something, you meet us at this altar, and we'll be sure to do this. All right? But for the rest of you, I have a challenge. Something I'm going to challenge you to do. And you've got two choices. Listen to me or be Southern Baptist and don't. Okay? That's your two choices. All right? I want to close us in prayer, and I want to encourage y'all to look across this room, and there's somebody you haven't spoken to in a while, or that you haven't, if you've lost that connection with, seek them out and just carry on a conversation. I'm not telling you to tackle them with a hug. I'm not telling you to do anything uncomfortable. I'm just saying, seek those out. And the other thing that I would like for you to do is I would like for you to spread out, whether it's in the parking lot or by the doors or down in the Sunday school building, and wait for the next service to show up. Wait for Sunday school to start. When they walk in those doors, shake their hand and smile at them and tell them how good it is to see them. Because the one complaint that I have over and over and over and over again at this church is we never get to see each other. Well, if the 10:30 service is waiting for us to do it, and the 8:15 service is waiting for the 10:30 service to do it, it's never going to happen. So I challenge y'all to get up, go to those doors. We haven't had greeters since COVID. Stand at that door and smile at people, shake their hand, just wave at them. I don't care, whatever you're comfortable doing. Go into classrooms if there's people already in classrooms and talk to them. That's my challenge to y'all today, is go from this place and stir up love among our body of believers today. Because I believe it's a calling, and I believe it's the thing that we're missing since COVID, is the air of family that's supposed to be on our church. So here in a second, right now, I'm going to close us in prayer. And again, I and Heather will be at this altar. If you need us, you want to talk to us, you come do that. But please, spread out. Go to the parking lot. I don't know if it's raining or not, but you aren't that sweet. You are not going to melt. All right? Find your open place and just show love. Let's pray.